KMVP FM, Phoenix, ArizonaSports.com, the Arizona Sports app, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up, 2 o'clock. On this Friday afternoon, good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Happy opening day to everybody out there. My name is Dave Burns alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro, who went... So there he is. Byron, you're going to have to go let Gambo in because I don't think he's aware that the show has started. Come on in, Gambo. Show started about 30 seconds ago. Come on over, brother. Put on those headsets. Tell everybody hello on this opening day.
I was just busting Tim Ring's chops out there doing a live shot, so I decided to just taunt him a little bit.
Of course.
Tim Ring was actually doing a shot.
So you were busy on somebody else's airwaves rather than your own? You were busy doing somebody else's show rather than your own? Is that what you're saying?
There was a bunch of Boston fans out there, so I just had to let them know that they were all communists, and then we were able to move on. And then I just really just wanted to bust Tim Ring's chops because he's out there doing his little live shot.
Oh, that's good.
So then I'd walk by with, like, you know, my hands in the air and stuff like that just to taunt him a little
bit. Oh, you were photobombing his live shot.
It's a good idea. I was photobombing his live shot, Burns.
There you go. Well, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. So glad you could make it here to your own radio show that's named after you. We appreciate your presence.
I cannot use the excuse that I was on the phone getting breaking information.
No, you cannot. You could have used that excuse about 20 minutes ago.
Although I could probably make up for the fact that I was 30 seconds late to the show.
You can, and I'm going to...
I could probably make up for it.
I'm going to let you do that in about 30 seconds. Let's tell everybody where we're at. We're down here at the Fish Tank in the Ballpark Plaza. Happy opening day, everybody.
Happy opening day.
Oh, and the Red Sox open up the baseball season, the home part of the baseball season today.
D-backs and the Communists, the battle. I'm excited. I actually purchased tickets for this game. I got my wife and my son here. They were here in, with the Fish Tank with us. Now they're inside going to get their seats. So, nice. I'm excited for opening day.
On any other day, we would start the show with a little D-backs talk because today is the home opener and because of the crowd that's expected to be down here for this 4:10 first pitch, which you'll hear on ESPN 620. We'll keep you completely updated on the score throughout the course of our game. But as Gambo alluded to, he was a busy little bee today. Let's tell you what he found out as part of our top story of the day here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Going deep. Deep. Today's top story, Burns and Gambo.
On the day, or the day after, Nick Bosa and Quinnen Williams were in for their visits with the Arizona Cardinals. It turns out the Cardinals will be getting another visit sometime in the near future. What'd you find out today, Gambo?
Well, Burnsy, I can tell you that Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray will visit with the Arizona Cardinals next week. Kyler Murray will be here to visit with the Cardinals. A lot of people project him as the number one overall pick in the draft by Arizona. They do have Bosa and Williams in. They had him in this week, but it's Friday, so the week's coming to a close here. Next week, Kyler Murray will visit with the Arizona Cardinals.
Wow, what timing, especially given that next week is the start of the voluntary workout programs. A lot of discussion, a lot of debate about whether Josh Rosen was going to be a part of that. You had said a couple of days ago, towards the end of last week, I think, that the expectation was that Josh Rosen was going to be there. That was nationally brought up today by Adam Schefter via his Twitter account.
Yeah, he's about three days late because we did report that he was going to show up, all indications and all expectations are that Josh Rosen will show up for the voluntary camp. So that will start next week, and at about the same time the voluntary camp's going on, it's going to be a visit with Kyler Murray.
Yep. So we don't know specifically when next week, just sometime
don't
next
know
week.
The exact date. I think it might be later in the week rather than earlier in the week. So I would think mid to late week rather than earlier in the week, but just next week, Kyler Murray will do his visit with the Arizona Cardinals.
When we had speculated on the Cardinals' visit to Oklahoma, that was a couple weeks ago. Remember, we were doing the flight tracker thing, and we were trying to figure out where the plane was, when the plane took off, when the plane landed.
The plane, boss, Rusty Blaine.
We were having a blast doing it. We speculated at the time.
It was actually a lot of fun.
It was, yeah.
A few times.
We speculated at the time that the Cardinals simply were not in Norman, Oklahoma long enough to probably dot every I and cross every T that would need to be dotted or crossed when it comes to Kyler Murray. The fact that he's visiting next week, and next week it'll be, what, the draft is 3 weeks from yesterday. So if you think about it, 3 weeks from right now, we'll know exactly how this drama is going to end. With the word that he's visiting, with about 2 weeks to go before the NFL draft, is not surprising. It should be expected, especially when you're talking about what one writer a couple of days ago called, honestly, one of the biggest decisions in the history of the NFL draft.
And it's hard to debate that. I mean, it is hard to debate that. I mean, you drafted a kid with a top 10 pick last year to be your franchise quarterback, and a year later, could you possibly be moving on from that quarterback to take another quarterback? I mean, giving up on the guy you drafted and believed was a franchise quarterback within, you know, within a year of drafting him, it would be a decision that we're just not used to seeing. It doesn't happen. It's unprecedented. This does not happen.
So because of that, you need to take every single opportunity you have to find out as much as you can about the young man and do your quote unquote due diligence, which I know this time of year that phrase gets thrown around a lot, and it's almost kind of an inside joke now at this point, but it's also very real. You have to examine everything you possibly can about the young man, because this is a huge decision for this organization. You can't do something like this lightly when you're talking about everything that's at stake. Everything that's at stake, let's call it like it is, for Steve Keim. I mean, this is a decision. Maybe both guys turn out great. Maybe Josh Rosen and Kyler Murray are the modern-day Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, and they're both awesome, and they're both really good quarterbacks. But given the chance that one of them could be good and one of them might not be, you better make sure you pick the right one.
Yes.
If you're Steve Keim, you better make sure you're on the right side of that history when it judges it and not on the wrong side. And because of that, you better check them out as much as
you
possible.
You are right. Both could be really good. Both could be average. Both could be bad. Or one could be really good and one could be bad or average. One of these guys is very likely going to be judged as a better quarterback than the other. You want to make sure you get that guy.
Yes.
It's very likely that one will be judged higher than the other. And that's where you've got to try to figure out, is this, you know, which guy do you want? Which guy is it going to be? So you can stick with Rosen. You got, you know, and this is the thing. You probably fall in and out of love all the time. You got Quinnen Williams in. Oh, my God, I love Quinnen Williams. And you get Bosa in. Okay, I love Bosa. You can have Murray and I love Bosa. So, you know, this is, you get one, you know? I mean, this is kind of like you're the Bachelor, and you've got, you know, 20 beautiful women in front of you, and you can only pick one.
There's only one rose, baby.
There's only one. You can only pick one. So this is what this is. This is like the Bachelor, and you may fall in love with Quinnen Williams and Nick Bosa, and you may fall in love with Kyler Murray and others, but you can only get one.
Yeah. On the heels of that, all right, so we've got that. A visit sometime next week for Kyler Murray. I'm sure we'll get more on that as the course of time goes on. While we're still talking on the topic of the Cardinals and what they're going to do with the draft, a couple other things to keep in mind. Number one, there was, and you sent me this report, there was a report in Miami, right? There was a report in Miami in which somebody offered the opinion that they thought Kyler Murray was the third best quarterback available in this draft. Not the first, not the second, but the third best quarterback in this draft.
Which seems kind of crazy that he would be the third best quarterback in this draft. I mean, that's just not, you know, to me, I mean, he's one, and then everybody else, there's a big drop. And I know that's how the Cardinals view it, too. The Cardinals will view it as he's one, and then there's a big drop between Haskins and Jones and Locke and those guys. But, yeah, there was a story, I think it was on, it was a former GM, Mike Tannenbaum, who says that Murray is the third best overall. So he's got him as the third best guy. Maybe that's why he's a former GM and not a current GM. Yeah, that could be why he's not doing it anymore.
Yeah, maybe.
Former Dolphins executive.
Meanwhile, Pete Prisco of CBS Sports did a podcast, the Pick 6 NFL podcast with Will Brinson from CBS Sports. And his point of view in this soundbite that I'm about to play kind of reflects what some around the game are now believing, that they're not buying Kyler Murray to the Cardinals, that they think something else is going to happen with that top spot. And in Prisco's opinion, he thinks it could be Quinnen Williams, the defensive lineman out of Bama.
I'm starting to get more and more feeling from around people in the know that I don't think it's going to be Murray number one overall.
See, I mean, we talk about this a lot on this podcast, but I like hearing that from you because my spidey sense on the Cardinals is that they want to trade down. Do you think there's any chance they would take Quinnen Williams number one?
Yes.
I made that bold prediction yesterday or like earlier this week.
I'm just doing my latest mock draft, and I got Quinnen Williams going number one overall.
Wow, you're going to get some clicks on that one.
Do you think Quinnen Williams is going to go number one?
No, he's wrong. He's wrong. Quinnen Williams will not go number one overall. If there's a choice between Quinnen Williams and Nick Bosa, it's going to be Nick Bosa. Okay, so Pete Prisco may want to change that mock draft that has Quinnen Williams going number one. It will not be Quinnen Williams. They will go, if it's a choice between Quinnen Williams and Nick Bosa, it will be Nick Bosa.
Okay.
It will not be Quinnen Williams. Just only 1 year for Quinnen Williams. He's a good player. He's a great player. But, you know, Bosa's that alpha male, dominant pass rusher. He's everything you want a football player to be. So Prisco, he will be wrong if he goes with Quinnen Williams going number one. It will either be Kyler Murray, it'll be a trade, or it'll be Nick Bosa. I mean, it'll be one of those. But it will not be Quinnen Williams as the number one pick in this draft.
The Arizona Cardinals are on the clock with the number one overall pick in this year's NFL draft, and you could be there to experience history. Text the word clock to 62620 for your chance to win a trip for two to Nashville for the Cards on the Clock Ultimate Draft Experience. It's courtesy of Cherish. Cherish All Natural 100% Cherry Juice. The diagnosis is in. How long is Jake Lamb going to be out, and how will the Diamondbacks replace him is something we'll be talking about on this home opener Friday next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Live today on this opening day Friday from the Fish Tank, which is the nickname that over the last 15 years or so we have given to this studio, actually the last 20 years now that I think about it, that we have given to this studio that is right here on the plaza at Chase Field. It overlooks the main ticket gate. And Gambo and I have been doing shows out of here for years. I used to live here doing D-backs postgame shows for about 10 years. I think I practically had a cot in the back office, for goodness sakes. I was here so often. So it's always good to be back here, and it's good to be back for opening day for the Arizona Diamondbacks on what is going to be a packed house. No doubt it would have been either way, but with the Red Sox in town in particular. And I'll say this on this opening day. It is going to be a really strange dynamic for an opener because there are going to be a lot of Boston Red Sox fans.
Oh, there already are. They are here.
It's a strange thing to see that on opening day. And I are looking out from our perch here. And, I mean, look, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Communist,
just everyone who's walking by is
communist.
Wearing...
They're all here. I can't believe it. The communists are here. They all have embarked on Phoenix, Arizona.
Boston Red Sox, who don't believe in life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. They don't believe in capitalism.
No, it's secretly, it is the one communist state we have.
It's all a bunch of socialists. Is this the anthem they're going to play for the Red Sox before the pregame?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I know we've got a country singer singing our anthem. Who's singing this anthem?
It's like the Dead Poets Society. It's a secret code of communists.
It's like the NHL when you play a Canadian team. They have to play both
Canada.
Anthems.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which, by the way, that is a really good anthem. I mean, if I'm on my national anthem power rankings, Oh Canada, that's a really good song.
It is.
That's a really good national anthem.
It's
I don't know
great,
what made me say that, but it's
a great
it's a
one.
Good one.
Ours is great, too.
Oh, no, ours is wonderful. Ours is the best.
Fantastic.
With the Red Sox here, man, it is. It's thick.
Yep, they'll play
here.
The Russian national anthem.
Zach Godley and...
I saw a guy with a Kurt Schilling shirt. I just sent the text message to Kurt saying, look, there's still guys that wear your shirt.
Which one? A Diamondbacks or a Red
no,
Sox?
No, a Red Sox shirt.
Oh,
I had a guy wearing a Kurt Schilling Red Sox shirt.
Rick Porcello.
Just sent it to him. 38 Schilling.
There it is. Rick Porcello, Zach Godley, the matchup, 4:10 first pitch on ESPN 620. Troy Lovello met with the media at 1 o'clock today, and first thing out of the chutes, he gave his update on Jake Lamb.
He has a grade 2 strain of his left quad. You know, I know you guys always look for a timetable and you want something concrete. I don't know. To be fair to this entire situation, I feel like everybody heals differently. Everybody has a different pace, depending on their recovery ability. So, if you're asking me, I mean, I'll start at 6 weeks and we'll go from there, but it could be more.
Okay, there you go.
Start at 6 weeks.
Yeah, usually Torrey's kind of vague about that, but I think he knew that he was going to need to give everybody at least some kind of a number. We're going to start with 6 weeks, and we're going to go from there.
Yeah, I did not have a time frame. You know, what I've speculated on based on the people that I spoke with was 4 to 6 weeks. But, you know, we had the information yesterday that Lamb was going to be put on. I have to stop saying disabled list.
Injured list.
It's injured list. I'm so used to the DL,
yes.
You know, going on a DL.
The IL.
Now it's the IL. So we knew yesterday, we reported this, that he was going on the injured list and Ildemaro Vargas was going to get called up.
Yep. And that was the move.
That's exactly what happened. So that was the move that happened. We did report that yesterday. And now, you know, you've got no Sousa for the entire season. And now at least 6 weeks with no Jake Lamb, which means that the depth on this roster will be tested really right out of the gate. I mean, right out of the gate, they've lost some key players, two starting players they've lost already from their roster, and the depth will be challenged.
And something that we speculated on when the Lamb injury happened, and we were watching it as it did. We were on the air when it did because it was a day game in San Diego, was something that Torrey addressed today when he met with the media pregame. He said, look, much to your kind of analysis, you said this a couple days ago, you basically just lost 50 to 60 home runs in Sousa and Lamb. And that's kind of the same way that Torrey's looking at it.
You know, that's potentially 60 home runs. You might, when you're sitting down in the offseason, they both have gone for 30. It's hard to plug in 60 home runs with some of the guys that are stepping into those new roles. But anything's possible. I think the ball, we've been hitting the ball real well, and it's hopping. So I feel like we could, but I'm not going to count on that. We're gonna rely on being a good baseball team to preserve runs. We're going to rely on a good baseball team that's going to have a good approach and score runs. We'll take those home runs when they're there. But tough to replace 60 home runs when you're projecting that in the offseason.
Yep. So he's expecting the same thing.
That's what we said, 50 to 60,
yeah,
right?
But we kind of have to become a different baseball team now, right? We kind of have to, you know, not that we were going to be a bunch of boppers to begin with, because they probably weren't, but You're gonna have to
manufacture runs,
score runs.
You might not play for the beginning as much as you do play for the one run or the two runs if the pitching's good. It does. I mean, you take two boppers out of the lineup. You take two guys that, you know, when we projected 50 to 60 home runs out of those two guys, he just said 60. You take those two guys out of the lineup, and yeah, I mean, it's no question that you may at times want to play a little bit different of a ball game. You may at times, you know, want to play for the sack fly. You may want to, you know, execute a bunt or a hit and run or try to play to get one or two runs across the plate, because you are missing that ability for. There'll be a lot less three-run home runs with no Lamb and Sousa in the lineup. I'll tell you that. There'll be a lot less.
Yep, there's no doubt about that. Also, when this comes to Christian Walker, Torrey was asked today if this assumedly makes Christian Walker the everyday first baseman.
Yeah. We'll mix and match. I think that'll be something I'll pay close attention to. But I feel like Christian's done everything he's supposed to have done up to this point to earn that playing time, and he's on time with everything he's doing, offensively and defensively. So he deserves that strong consideration. But you know, Wilmer's a good baseball player too, and we're going to be able to mix and match Wilmer at second and first, and we're going to put ourselves in the best position by the day to score as many runs as possible.
It was even asked of Torrey today if, gasp, Alex Avila could get a little time over at first base for a left-handed bat. He said, maybe we'll look into that, possibly, depending on how things get
started. They could play
started.
Adam Jones at first base.
They could.
They could play
they
Adam
could.
Jones at first. They can give him a day off or a, you know, day out of the outfield and put him at first, so he could do that. So I don't see that.
Just for a lefty bat over there, depending on who you're facing in the lineup and what happens with Christian Walker, and if it turns into more of a platoon,
Here's the thing. We've always wanted to see what Walker could do with extended at bat. He's going to get 6 weeks of extended at bats.
Yes, he is.
Okay, so we're going to know in 6 weeks. If Walker's mashing and he's hitting it for a high average, hitting home runs and knocking in runs, he may have solidified himself as the everyday first baseman at that point. And that Jake Lamb experiment at first could be over. Like, by the time Jake Lamb comes back, it's either, yeah, you're playing third or you're not playing. Because first base is done. Walker's got it. He's you know, 6 weeks is a long time. There's a lot of baseball games that get played in 6 weeks. Walker could clearly establish himself by the time Lamb comes back as the everyday first baseman.
Let's call it like it is. Isn't that kind of your best case scenario
yes.
if you're the Arizona Diamondbacks?
Yeah, because I don't want Lamb at first base.
You know, yeah, I kind of want Christian Walker to do great things that make it so Lamb – that there's no need to give Lamb his job back at first base. That if Christian Walker can solidify himself as the undisputed everyday first baseman for the Arizona Diamondbacks, I will say that's a great thing for the Diamondbacks, because it means he will have put up the numbers that will justify his presence over there.
But it's also giving you a player that you were not counting on.
Right.
That's a player, when we went through scenarios, you need Robbie Ray to do better, you need Souza to do better, you need Lamb to do better, you need the bullpen. It wasn't like nobody said, oh, they need Christian Walker to hit 30 home runs. Nobody expected Christian Walker to be a guy that, you know, you are hopeful that he could have a role on the team, you know, maybe be a little platoon guy at first, a bat off the, we know he has pop.
Yeah.
Okay, but can he do it if he's playing every day? We're going to find out.
Mike Hazen was on Doug and Wolf this morning on this home opener opening day and said, one thing we learned from our team on their season opening road trip, there are a few things we need to do better.
On the downside, I think, you know, it's pretty clear we need to clean up a few things. And that is, I think, and we've addressed these things already, but the number of walks we've issued early on in the season has to change. You can't win pitching with walks. Mm-hmm. I don't care what the other team's doing hitting-wise. If you're going to put guys on base, you're going to get yourself in trouble. So we're working on that, you know, a little early season. And then even some defensively, you know, we've made a few mistakes, which is, I think, is a little odd for us, because for the last 2 years we've kind of been built on those two things, and that was a little shaky there for the first couple of games.
Well, those two things better get a whole lot better if you just lost 60 home runs out of your lineup. Now, again, Lamb's going to come back at some point. I don't want to make it sound like he's out for the year, but with Torey Lovello saying they're going to start at 60. Something else to watch today, and this is the baseball nerd in me, that new field.
And how
does
turf.
And how does it play?
I know.
How does it play on? I was talking with one of the guys who covers the team every single day, and he said one of the things I noticed in a couple of those exhibition games that they played here, that if you hit like a blooper, right, you know, like a little looper into the outfield, not a line drive, that when it lands on the ground, it sticks. Like it just, it almost like a, like,
well, yeah. I mean,
he described it like a coconut, you know, like you throw a coconut in the air, when it lands,
it's dead. It just dies. Yeah.
Like, so if you hit a ball kind of up in the air and it just kind of lofts down in the ground, it's not going to roll. It's
but
not going to take
in
any
the point. It didn't in the past.
That outfield was pretty hard and fast. I mean, depending on the spin on the ball, when it hit the ground, it could
I know the line,
move a
the line drives would just be like, you know, they would just take off.
Oh, it was like an ice, right?
I mean, yeah. Boom. It would just absolutely go. Yeah. I mean, it is going to be interesting to see how, you know, listen, how many times do we go out, how many times are me and you out there and, you know, doing our show from the stadium and the game would be over, we'd be looking at the field like, man, this field looks terrible.
I know.
This does not look good.
Yeah.
Like, it's not playing, like, it doesn't look good. Now it's going to look good. Now the field's going to look good and hopefully it plays well for them. I'm excited to see it today.
Monday was being looked at as the day that we might get some answers. But now that Josh Rosen is going to show up to the Cardinals workouts next week, what does that mean? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter Poll, presented by Sanderson Ford.
On this opening day for the Diamondbacks down here at Chase Field, they're about an hour and a half away from first pitch against the Boston Red Sox. We send it back to the Ok-Chin Community Studios, where Sarah Cazell is standing by with today's Twitter Poll question. Oh, the day. Hi, Sarah.
Hello, Burnsy.
How are you? Happy opening day to you.
Very echoey. How is Gambo back yet? Has he made it back for?
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
You mean the start of the show when he wasn't here? When he was busy photobombing Tim Ring's live shot on Channel 3 instead of doing his own radio show?
I made up for it with good information coming out of the game.
Okay, so let's hit on that. Let's hit on that real quick. With all of today's news and rumors around the Arizona Cardinals, who do you think is the most likely pick at number one in the draft for Arizona? Right now, we've got 44% saying it's Kyler Murray, no doubt. 37% going for Nick Bosa. Only 19 for Quinnen Williams.
Wow. Well, we'll see what they end up doing in 3 weeks.
With all today's news and rumors, who do you think is Arizona's most likely pick at number one in the draft? I don't know. It's not Quinnen Williams. 18% of our audience is wrong. It will not be Quinnen Williams at number one.
It won't be.
It'll be Murray at number one, Bosa at number one, or a trade.
What happened to John Gambadoro is Tom Cruise in Risky Business? Sometimes you just got to say, what the heck? Go for it. Just draft Murray. Why not? Just do it. You know what?
I still believe that.
Go for it.
I mean, let's have some fun. That'll be an exciting. It'll be exciting at least.
Sometimes you just.
I mean, let's have some fun. I'm on board with that.
You're on board with that?
Yeah, the one thing I'm pretty certain about, it will not be Quinn and Williams at number one. I think if it comes down to Bosa or Williams, it's Bosa's going to get the nod over Williams. You mark my word. Bosa would get the nod over Williams.
All right. That's the poll question. You can find it on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page. At Burns and Gambo is where you can find that. It's fun. I mean, look, I get it. Adam Schefter is a very recognizable NFL insider, but I had to laugh. I had to laugh when I read his tweet today. I
Me
saw
too.
It. You did too. And Adam Schefter is very good at what he does. But this tweet, quote, quarterback Josh Rosen is expected to report to and participate in the start of the Cardinals offseason workout program on Monday. Some players who have been the subject of trade speculation have declined to report to workouts. Plus, the Cardinals have not engaged in active trade discussions to date on Josh Rosen. Other teams have asked about him, but to date, the Cardinals have not shown a willingness to trade him to date. Both of those tweets, it's like I was stuck in some sort of time warp, and I said, well, I think Gambo said the first tweet, like, late last week, and I think he said the second tweet,
Monday,
like, yesterday or the day before. But now that it's national people are kind of reacting to this news that Josh Rosen is, quote-unquote, yeah, expected to be there.
And they're making a big deal out of it when we did a report a few days ago that Rosen is expected to participate, and he's going to participate on April 8th. That was the big thing, on April 8th. He's going to show up. There's no reason for him not to show up. He's expected to show up. I've heard that he's going to show up, so... You know, he's still the quarterback of this team. He's under contract with the Arizona Cardinals. Until they tell him not to show up, he needs to show up. You can't speculate if you're him. You can't guess if you're him or his agent. You've got a contract. You've got a job. And you need to do your job. I mean, there is a scenario in which he does come back and he is the quarterback of the Cardinals. Under those circumstances, it would be very difficult for him to do his job if he doesn't show up for the voluntary workouts. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to lose the respect of your teammates. Hey, we're all here. We're ready to work. Where are you? You know, we got a new coach. We have a new offensive coordinator. We have a new system. We got to learn this stuff.
Yeah.
So for him not to show up would be, I think, a slap in the face of all of his teammates, which is why we reported the other day that he will be showing up.
Yeah, it's funny. I think about Josh Rosen, and I think about all the times last year, and he was really good about this. He was really good, even from the minute he walked in the door, from the minute he got drafted. He was really good about understanding the things that a quarterback is supposed to do and understanding the things quarterbacks are supposed to say and understanding how quarterbacks are supposed to lead. Every time he spoke about it, you could tell that quarterbacks are supposed to step into the huddle and know exactly what the hell they're doing, even when sometimes they don't, right?
Right.
They kind of have to fake it because you're the quarterback. People are expecting you to know what you're doing. People are expecting you to lead. For him not to show up on Monday would be so not what a quarterback would do. And because of that, I did always kind of think, even before we started getting into the specifics of whether he was going to be there, I kind of always thought it would just be really odd for Josh Rosen not to be there. That is what a quarterback would not do. That is what a leader would not do, right? That is what a guy who strives to be a quarterback in this league, especially going into his second year, would not do. So the suggestion that he wasn't going to be there, it just seems so anti-Josh Rosen, right? Even with all the speculation, yeah, even with all the crazy, it just doesn't seem like something he would do.
Listen, if he doesn't show up, then I would take it as the organization told him not to because they don't want to risk an injury. But that's not going to happen. I mean, I really doubt that's going to happen. You can't guess at this if you're him. You can't be upset about the rumors that are out there about Murray. We reported a short time ago that Murray's going to be in next week for a workout.
Yep.
That he's coming in to visit with the Cardinals next week. That he will be here. You know, when Rosen hears this, you can't take it to heart, man. They're just doing their homework. This is what they're supposed to do. If you don't pan out, you know, listen. If you don't pan out 3-4 years from now, maybe they're going to be looking for another quarterback. Maybe he's available. You just never know. Maybe they do take Murray number one and they trade you. But either way, until you're told that you're not a member of this football team anymore,
yeah,
you've got to do everything you can and work hard.
Lewis Riddick was on SportsCenter today, and he said Rosen can control one thing here, and that's his level of professionalism.
Josh is going to be a pro. If one thing, you know, I learned in the NFL, it was from Clay Matthews a long time ago. And one thing you can control, despite all the speculation surrounding you, is your professionalism. Of course he's going to show up at offseason workouts. Of course he's going to act like it's business as usual.
That was Lewis Riddick on SportsCenter earlier today, who also said, look, Rosen, when it's all said and done, he'll be fine.
Whatever Steve Keim and the rest of the crew there in Arizona decide to do, they decide to do. And Josh is going to be a good player in this league. So I'll tell you this, if they do officially put him on the trading block and start talking to teams, there'll be plenty that'll line up for his services. I loved him last year in the draft. He got a bad rap last year. Rather, he was dealt a bad hand last year in Arizona. You know that. I mean, there's many young quarterbacks who've gone through it, like Jared Goff went through it with the Rams. Josh Rosen will be just fine wherever he winds up.
It's a pretty positive outlook there from Lewis Riddick on Josh Rosen going to be fine. And look,
somebody else wants you. I mean, listen, if I'm Josh Rosen, here's the positive. Man, I'm hearing a lot of teams are interested in me. The Patriots, the Chargers, the Redskins, the Giants. I mean, it's not like nobody wants him. It's not like there's nobody wants to trade for him. So if you're Josh Rosen and you're in a situation, and one thing that I would say if I'm the agent, listen, if they do trade you, here's the good news. Man, there's a lot of teams that still think you're really good.
Sure.
There's a lot of teams that want you, you know, that want you to be, you know, want you to be there. So whatever team you go to, it's going to be a good situation because they want you. They are going to trade. They're going to trade for you because they want you.
I want to bring this up real quick before we take it to a break. You sent me a mock draft today on SB Nation, and the guy who picked for the Cardinals, who was doing the mock draft, picked Kyler Murray for the Arizona Cardinals number one overall. Okay, we've seen a lot like that. One of the lines that he wrote here kind of caught your attention, and it caught mine too. Quote, there's no question this will be one of the most controversial picks among fans in a long time. However, the teardown of the 2018 season would be completed if this is the way the Cardinals go.
Caught my eye, made me think. I mean, is this in some ways a teardown of the 2018 season? Wilkes and his entire staff is gone, and then if you get rid of, you know, Josh Rosen, who was the number one pick, it's almost a teardown of what 2018 was. You're putting 2018 in a rearview mirror. Now, they have had so much roster turnover. So much roster turnover. So many players from this team are no longer on this team. So many new players that is going to be, I mean, whatever the percentage ends up being when we get to training camp, I mean, you know this, there's going to be at least 20-plus new players on this roster between free agents signed, draft picks, undrafted kids that may make the team. There's going to be 20-plus new guys on the team.
Almost half the roster. Yeah, between a third and a half.
And then if you do trade Josh Rosen and he's gone, your starting quarterback from last year and your backup quarterback from last year are both gone.
Yeah.
Bradford and Glenn, three of your quarterbacks from last year, Bradford, Glennon, and Rosen, all gone. Think about that. Now, listen, there are times when teams will change out one quarterback or two. How often do you see a team get rid of all three quarterbacks in the same year? Bradford, Glennon, Rosen, all gone if they decide to make this move.
Not very often.
That happens, but it's not common. Yeah. Trust me.
The Arizona Diamondbacks are opening their 22nd home season today, which means our next guest is also participating in his 22nd home opener as well. The all-time voice of the Diamondbacks, Craig Schulte, joins us next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, it's the D-backs home opener. The D-backs host the Red Sox at Chase Field this afternoon. Diamondbacks 2019 home opener, brought to you by Coors Light. When the mountains turn blue, it's game time. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo talk Diamondbacks baseball with a D-backs broadcaster. The Booth is brought to you by A&E Auto Glass. Show us your cracks. With every insurance-replaced windshield, A&E Auto Glass will give you $140. Text cracks to 620-620 or call 480-228-5390.
With the fact check, about an hour and 15 minutes away from first pitch, give or take. Live here at Chase Field. We're in the fish tank at the plaza just outside the ballpark, inside the ballpark, getting ready to call his 22nd home opener. He, of course, is the all-time voice of the Arizona Diamondbacks, the legendary Greg Schulte, who joins us here on In the Booth on the Burns and Gambo Show. Greg, happy opening day to you. I know it's always a special day for us baseball fans.
Yeah, it really is, and nothing like a home opener with all the pageantry, all the hoopla and everything. And, you know, Diamondbacks coming off a 3-4 road trip. Could have been better, could have been worse, so we'll see what happens here at home.
We've all been here for all of the opening days. When I think of opening day, my first memory, in all honesty, is Travis Lee. I don't know why, But I think about Travis Lee, the first big Diamondback player, and didn't have a great career here, got traded to the Phillies. But that's my first memory is Travis Lee. How about you?
Well, that's a good one. He had his first, Diamondback's first hit the first home run, had a really good rookie season for the Diamondbacks, who had acquired Matt Williams in the trade and got Jay Bell out of free agency. Andy Bennis was here, but it was kind of a rookie that stole the show that first year for the Diamondbacks as they came close to 100 losses, but did not come up with 100. We've had some crazy opening games, guys, over the years. I remember in 2005 we opened against the Cubs here, and that was Javier Vasquez's first start after the trade with Randy Johnson with New York. He got the call. Diamondbacks lost that game 16-6. Cubs had a huge lead, and Zambrano was pitching, got into an argument. Diamondbacks started hitting around a little bit, got ejected before he could get out of five innings, didn't even get the win. But it's been fun. It's hard to believe it's 22 seasons already. It doesn't seem like it.
No, it doesn't seem like it at all. It's funny, when I think of home openers, I never think of a player, but I do always remember just the first time they opened the roof.
Yeah.
And the majesty of that. You had never seen something like that before. The music, the opening, I think is probably my favorite opening day memory. The first time I ever saw that with the music, it was stunning.
Well, I mentioned that first year was really rough, playing with a lot of expansion players. And we sold out pretty much every ballgame, 48,000-49,000 people every night. And they'd come, they'd make sure they got here about 20 minutes before the ballgame starts so they watch the roof open. And even if the Diamondbacks were getting beat bad during the ballgame, they'd stick around so they could watch the roof close after the ballgame. So, yeah, the first time the roof opened, all the hoopla on that first ever ballgame. And you went from there. Mike Lansing, the first pitch was a ball from Andy Bennis. Funny how you can remember a lot of that stuff.
Andy Bennis, yeah. And, of course, who was the player that they traded to get Gonzo from the Tigers? He was on that opening game.
Kareem Garcia. Okay, here's the deal. The Diamondbacks got Gonzo and cash for Kareem Garcia.
They got money, too.
Yeah.
Just a swindle. What were your Greg Schulte, voice of the Diamondbacks here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, joining us. He's inside the park. That's about an hour and 15 minutes, hour and 20 minutes from now. It would be first pitch. What were your impressions of the first set of games on the road, the two series in L.A. and San Diego?
Well, great hitting. No doubt about that. I think this ball club's going to get this year. I think they've got a really good approach. Darnell Cole's their new hitting coach. I think he's brought a little different thing here to the D-backs. We'll see if it holds up all season long, but Peralta's off to a terrific start. The starting pitching was not good first time around. Greinke obviously better second time around. Robbie, 2 days ago, suffered a little bit. Anxious for a good game from Godley here today. They had two ball games where they really didn't have to use a bullpen and blow out losses, which is not good. But at the same time, the bullpen's pretty fresh. So I think you just sum it up this way, guys. It's been good hitting, 280-plus average and 14 home runs, and not much pitching so far, an ERA over 7.
Well,
you know, both these teams combined have given up 37 home runs among their pitching staffs. Diamondbacks have given up 19, and the Red Sox have given up 18.
Crazy. And now the depth will be tested. No Steven Souza for the whole year and at least 6 weeks
there?
With no Jake Lamb. So the depth on this team is really going to be tested now.
They actually switched us back.
I think we lost him for a
all
second
right.
there.
Thanks, Greg. Have a great game. Opening day.
I think we technically were...
I heard him. I don't think he heard us.
I don't think he heard us. So we will. Jordan, we can just thank Greg for his time, and
let him be on his way.
He's got a game to prep for, but we do appreciate Greg Schulte stopping by and joining us for a few minutes here. It is funny when you look at the Boston Red Sox, and I saw. Okay, I got to pull this up on my computer here because I saw this stat, and you hating on the Red Sox the way you do, you are going to absolutely. Here it is, right here, defending World Series champions. Off to a start 2-6 or worse.
Okay.
Boston Red Sox 2019, they're 2-6. Mm-hmm. You have to go all the way back to the 1998 Marlins, who were 1-7. Then
is that when they just decimated that team the next year and got rid of everybody?
Yep. Then the 84 Orioles at 2-6. The 73 A's at 2-6. You get my drift here?
73 A's. One of my first memories in baseball. Was that Reggie Jackson, Vita Blue, Joe Joe Rudy, Gene Tennis,
Vida Blue,
Bart Campaneris. Catfish Hunter.
Reggie Jackson. Was Reggie Jackson on that team?
Reggie Jackson was on that team, yeah. But that was my first memories of the 73 A's, man. They were a powerhouse team that got broken up by Marvin Miller in free agency.
But to think that, okay, but look at the years.
Sal Bando.
Look at the years. 2019, 1998, 1984, 1970. If this were something that happened every 5 or 6 years, you'd go, okay, whatever, big deal.
This
you know?
Is the upside down. Tampa Bay's in first place, right? Tampa Bay. Like, they're not going to finish in first place. They got a nice little young roster, and they might be competitive. And they, you know, they're not an awful baseball team, Tampa Bay. They made some good moves over the years. But, listen, the Yankees and the Red Sox will finish 1-2 in this division somehow, some way. They will. The Yankees have been decimated with injuries. They've got like 11 guys that are injured right now. The Yankees are like 11 guys. Like, mm-hmm. the whole freaking team is injured. That's why yesterday there was some report you were saying, man, with the Yankees discussing Jake Lamb internally before Jake's injury?
Susie Waldman reported that on WFAN's pregame show.
I checked locally here, and what I was told, that it never got back to here. I mean, the Yankees never called to ask about Jake Lamb. They may have had internal discussions trying to, you know, replace Miguel Andujar, their third baseman who's out, but it never got to the point where they actually called the Diamondbacks and asked about a possible trade.
Yeah, so the Red Sox, there's way, 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 way too much talent on that roster for them to kind of follow suit with some of those other teams, but it is a little surprising to when you realize that it's been 20-plus years since a defending World Series champion has gotten off to this slow of a start the year after. I'm sure they'll be okay. It's like you called it the upside down. The Astros are off to a slow. A lot of the teams that we expected to be good are off to slow starts this year. It's very, 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 very early. Remember, the Arizona Diamondbacks were a first-place team basically all of last season up until about the final month of the year. Things
The Red Sox will make the playoffs. They'll make the playoffs. They'll either win a division or they'll be a wild card. They're too good of a team not to make the playoffs. They'll be in.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. For weeks, it's been all about Kyler Murray. But as we get closer to the first round, could the Cardinals really actually go a different direction by staying at number one and taking somebody else? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.